All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, if you would open them to the book of 1 John. So if you find the book of Revelation in the very back, turn back a few pages, you will come to the book of 1 John. And over the course of the next several weeks and months, we'll be marching through 1 John book, or verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and seeing what the Lord has to say to us. John writes this book for several purposes. One of those purposes is to clarify who Jesus is. There's always been much confusion around the person of who Jesus is. Even going back to the gospel accounts, when Jesus walked the earth, we see that some thought that Jesus was Elijah. Do you remember that conversation that Jesus had on the mountain? He said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they responded, "Well, some said that you're Elijah, and some say that you're John the Baptist." Confusion about who he is. Last week, we saw the woman at the well who thought that he was, quote, just a prophet. And she later learned who he really was. Nathanael in the Bible, Nathanael thought that Jesus was just another guy from a messed up town. And he said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Even his own family. In Mark chapter 3, verse 21, we read that his own family, they thought he was crazy. We see they said, "He's out of his mind." And here's the thing to know. Oftentimes our journey to faith, it's kind of like that, isn't it? Like it kind of begins with this misunderstanding of who Jesus is. We don't have any clue of who Jesus is, but then he reveals it to us along the way. He reveals to us who he is along the way. It's almost like a painting, TJ. Sharon, have you ever watched someone paint like TJ or Sharon? They're really gifted at painting. You ever watch them paint and they start off and you have no idea what they're painting? And they'll tell you, "This is going to be a beautiful mountain, but it just looks like a blob of paint," right? But as they continue painting, as they continue working through that, suddenly it clicks. You can begin to see the mountain appear. You can begin to see the outline of the clouds. You can begin to see the picture come together. That's kind of what it's like learning about who Jesus is. At first, none of it may make any sense. It may be confusing. You may not understand who he is. You may wonder, is he real? Do these people really believe this? Did Jesus really do the things that the Bible said that he did? And what John does in this first chapter is John, think of him like an artist. He's painting a picture for us of who Jesus is. And by the time John is done, the end result will be complete, absolute clarity on who Jesus is. Now, you may have seen this video before. It's a couple of years old. It actually happened at a Mizzou basketball game. I was watching the game. I wasn't there, but I was watching the game on TV. And there's this man who is singing the Pledge of Allegiance. And he's singing that while he's painting a picture. And at first, we have no idea what he's painting. But by the end, there is absolute total clarity. Check it out.
"Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proud
God bless America. You know what I'm saying? I was waiting for an eagle to drop down with the basketball and bring it into the man. That was awesome. That was awesome. At first, the first time I saw that, I'm like, what is he doing? What's he painting? By the way, I said that he was singing the Pledge of Allegiance. Forgive me. That was not the Pledge of Allegiance. That was the Star Spangled Banner. Y'all are used to me by now. Here's the thing. At the beginning of that thing, if you've never seen, how many of you, this is the first time that you've seen that? Okay, did you have any idea what he was painting? No clue until he flipped it over, and then you wanted to stand up and put your hand over your heart and sing the Pledge of Allegiance, say the Pledge of Allegiance, right? It was a beautiful thing. This is what John is doing in the book of 1 John. John is like a painter. He is painting the picture of who Jesus is. And today, we're going to see John paint a very, very clear picture. In fact, he's going to paint three very clear pictures of who Jesus is. So if you have your Bibles, if you would stand in the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to begin in the book of 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to read the entirety of chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, God's Word this morning says this: what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed and have touched with our hands concerning the Word of life, that life was revealed, and we have seen it, and we testify, and we declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you: God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in Him. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the day, for your word, for your kindness and your goodness. And I pray, Father, you would do a mighty work here this morning. Use my frail and feeble words to bring glory to you, Father. I pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Three pictures of who Jesus is. Number one, very simple. If you have your bulletin, the outline's in there. Number one is very simple. Jesus is real. Can't get more simple than that, right? Jesus is real. He is a historically verifiable man who lived in a real time, in a real place. We have historical records, both in Scripture itself and outside of Scripture himself, that confirms, that demonstrates that Jesus was real. We have eyewitness testimonies that speak to the realness of Jesus. And one of those was John himself, the guy who writes the book of 1 John. Look at how he describes him. Look in your Bible. Verse 1. He describes him as being fully God and fully man. Verse 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, that life was revealed. And we have seen it and we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. Do you see how John describes Jesus? He was from the beginning. You say, from the beginning of what? Well, from the beginning of time, which means if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, guess who's there? Jesus. He's there. If you could somehow go before Genesis 1:1, guess who was there? Jesus. He was there. He's always been there. And you say, why has He always been there? Because He's God. He exists outside of time and space. And you say, wait a minute, Brian, wait a minute. 1 John chapter 1, look at your Bible. The CSB says this: from the beginning. What was from the beginning? Not before the beginning. What was from the beginning? So where do you see that He existed before Genesis 1:1? Well, I see that in verse 2. Look in your Bible in verse 2. The end of verse 2 says, it says this, that life was revealed, and that we have seen it, and we testify and declare to you that what? Do you see those words? Starts with an E. Eternal life. Eternal, to be eternal means to exist forever. In all of history past and all of history or all of the future, there is no beginning and no end when you see what Jesus was eternal. Excuse me, let me say that again. He was eternal, meaning that he had no beginning and has no end. He existed before time and space. He existed before the beginning. He has always been. He is the great I am. Amen. He's fully God. But he's also fully man. And you say, where do you see that? Well, look at how John paints this portrait. Verse 1, what was from the beginning? What's the first thing that he says? From the beginning, what we have what? Heard. What we have seen with our eyes. What we have observed. What we have touched with our hands. Do you see the full, for lack of a better word, do you see the full manness of Jesus? John says that we heard him. We saw him. We observed him. That means, hey, it's school's back in session. The word for observe means to like study, right? To behold. They looked intently at the person of Jesus. We observed him. We touched him with our own hands. We saw him with our own eyes. And then he says, in verse 3, what we have seen and heard, we also declare to you. And if you're anything like me, you say, that's not fair. It's not fair that John gets to see and hear and touch, and all we get to do is read. We have to read about his account. Like, how easy would it be, right? How easy would it be to believe if we were there? If Jesus could somehow walk in the room and shake your hand, how easy would it be to believe? But let me share something with you. Let me share something with you. You say, how can I believe if I can't see? Let me share with you three things you believe in that you can't see. You ready? George Washington. How many of you believe in George Washington? He was a real historical person. Some of you aren't quite sure. How can you believe in George Washington? You've maybe seen a painting of him, but you've never seen him, never heard his voice, never shook his hand. You've never seen him, but you believe in him, believe that he was a real person. Why? Because there's reliable, historical, verifiable evidence that a man named George Washington existed. Let's get away from history. Let me share something else with you. You believe in oxygen. Say, how do you know that? Because you're breathing, because we're here, we're alive. You believe in that, but you can't see the air that you breathe, and yet you know it's there. You believe in that. Let me share with you one more thing that I've never seen, okay? I've never seen, and thus I'm not sure if I believe, that the country of Belarus is real. But I can prove it to you. You want to know how? Hey, has anybody ever been to Belarus? Oh, we've got a winner. Okay, Trudy, let me ask you some questions about Belarus. When did you go to Belarus? 1996. Why did you go to Belarus? She went on a mission trip and planted a church and... Okay, can you tell me just a couple things? I'm still not quite sure Belarus exists. I've seen it on a map, but I've never been there. What's it like? If you had to compare it to a state in America, what would you compare it to? Rolling Hills? Huh? Okay. What language do they speak? Russian. Where is Belarus? Okay, now I trust Trudy. Real verifiable evidence that Belarus is a real, I've never seen it. But you've persuaded me, well done. I believe Belarus is a real place. So here's the thing, if you believe that George Washington is real, if you believe that oxygen is real, if you have been persuaded like I have that Belarus is real, then you can believe that Jesus is real. And believing that Jesus is real, that's not faith, that's the first step to faith. And you say, well, what's the difference between belief and faith? You can believe that Jesus is real, but that's not exactly the same thing as faith, at least not in our current, our modern vernacular. In modern terms, to believe means to intellectually agree to a set of facts. Okay, I can intellectually agree that Jesus was real. But to have faith, that takes it one step further. Because you're not just intellectually agreeing that Jesus is real. To have faith means that you're trusting in Him. That you have commitment to Him. That you're surrendered to Him. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Because sometimes we can't see where we're going. But we can trust God. That's faith. We can have faith like that. You can believe that Jesus was real. Intellectually, you can agree with that. But if you lack the ability to trust Him, then you lack faith. And you say, how do I get faith? You ask Him. He is the giver of faith. He will give you faith. You ask him for faith. Faith is a gift from God. So if you struggle with faith, ask Him. Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my what? Unbelief. Lord, I believe. Give me faith. Ask Him and He will. Well, listen, now John is painting this picture. Number one, Jesus is real, but he's more than just real. When He came, Jesus revealed God's righteousness. So having established that Jesus was a real, historical, verifiable person who existed in a real time, in a real place, John goes on to tell us what Jesus did, one thing that Jesus did when He was here. And look at the message, verse 5 and 6. It says, this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. And there is absolutely no darkness in Him. The Bible often uses these darkness and light as metaphors for good and evil. I'll just give you a couple of examples. Ephesians 5:8 says this, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Even Jesus Himself said this, I am the light of the what? World. We even use that same kind of language today when we say, man, that young man is a shining example of what it is to be a young man. Or we say something like, America is a beacon of hope to the world. That image comes from the Word. That light is good comes from the Bible. And the message that Jesus revealed is that God is good, that He's light, and there's no darkness in Him. So hear me, the sun doesn't set on God's righteousness. The light never turns off. It never gets dark where God is. He is 100% righteous 100% of the time, and therein lies the problem for us, because we are not. Look at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him, and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. To have fellowship with God means to be a Christian, right? To commune with God. If we say that we have fellowship with God, if we claim to be Christians, and yet we walk in darkness, we're lying. We're just claiming to be Christians. The mouth confesses, but the heart doesn't believe. He says, what does it look like? What does that look like to walk in the light? If I want to be known as a follower of Christ, what does it look like then to walk in the light, to be someone who walks with the Lord? Walking in the light, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. Walking in the light doesn't mean that you're perfect. Walking in the light doesn't mean that you never mess up. You know what walking in the light means? It means that when you do mess up, the light reveals your sin, and then you repent of that sin, and you are forgiven. Walking in the light means that you're applying God's Word to your life, even when you don't want to. That's what walking in the light is. It means you're living out your faith. It means you're marching on. You're marching forward on days where it feels like you can't. That's what it means to walk in the light. To walk in the light means that you're walking with God and you're living for God according to His Word. Walking in darkness, that means you're living for yourself. You're doing things for you. You can get away with a lot of things in darkness. The other night I got up at 1 a.m. and I went to the cupboard. Carla didn't know this yet, but I enjoyed a snack. It was very good. And I didn't get caught until just now. Because I'm in the light and I must confess that I enjoyed a snack. Listen, here's the thing. 87% of DUIs, they happen at night. Did you know that? 65% of murders happen at night. The vast majority of robberies, aggravated assault, car thefts, and burglaries all happen at night. You want to know why? It's dark. It can cover it up. You can do a whole lot of things when you're in the dark and not get caught. But listen, if somebody claims to be a follower of Christ and they're living in darkness, if they claim to be a follower of Christ and they're living like the devil, they aren't practicing the truth. They're deceiving themselves. And they're trying to deceive others around them. Let me be more pointed, okay? If you claim to be a follower of Christ, but you are living like the devil, then you are lying. And you are not practicing the truth. Now, hear what I said. Hear what I didn't say. I didn't say if you claim to be a follower of Christ and you sin, then you're lying and not practicing the truth. I didn't say that. And I didn't say if you claim to be a follower of Christ and are not perfect, then you're lying and not practicing the truth. I didn't say that. What I said was, if you claim to be a follower of Christ, but you live like the devil, you're lying. And you're not practicing the truth. John says it like this. If we say we have fellowship with Him, but we walk, that means to live your life, we live our lives in darkness, we're lying. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, but your life doesn't show it, something is off. Either you're unsaved and you need to repent and believe, or you're backslidden and you need to repent and believe and be forgiven. Repentance is the answer either way. Do you see that? Well, listen, we've seen Jesus is real. We've seen that Jesus reveals God's righteousness. But the good thing is that Jesus doesn't just show up and say, "Hey guys, I'm real and God is righteous. Good luck." He doesn't just leave us to figure it out on our own. He solves our problem. He solves the biggest problem in your life. And you say, "What is that?" He redeems us. Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus is the only one who ever did anything about our lostness. He's the only one who could ever do anything about our lostness. He's the only one who could ever move us from darkness to light. Why? Well, John's already told us, because He's the only one who's ever been fully God and fully man. And as such, He's the only one who could keep God's perfect law. And having kept God's perfect law perfectly, He shed His blood on the cross. And it truly was, Josh, it was finished upon that cross. Our sins were paid for. He died on the cross. And then He really was buried. And He really did come back to life. And the Bible says that His blood cleanses us from sin. That's what verse 7 says. Look at it in your Bible. If we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You say, how? How does the blood of Jesus cleanse us from sin? Because Jesus, like His Father, is righteous. He never sinned. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making His appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus did that. And you say, how can I be made righteous? And how can I be saved? You agree with God that you need to be saved. You agree with God that you've sinned and that you need forgiveness. That's called repentance. You tell him you're sorry. You ask him to forgive you. You turn from your sin. You believe that Jesus is the fully God, fully man, that died on the cross, that shed his blood, that paid for the penalty of our sin. And you confess him as your Savior and Lord. And the Bible guarantees if you do that, he is faithful to save. Look at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. Verse 9. Excuse me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the end of it. You may have been walking in here today and you're following along and you've been watching as John paints this picture of Jesus, and you've been trying to piece together this puzzle of who Jesus is and what Jesus did and why it matters. And John really paints a pretty impressive picture for us. Can I share with you one more quick video, one more quick impressive painting? This one's about 2 minutes long. Check this out.
At the start, he was there. He was there.
Artist reveals what he is painting, boy, you can't miss it. And you may have walked in here today and God has been revealing to you, similar to how he revealed to the woman at the well last week, he's been painting a picture for you of who Jesus is. And once you see him, everything changes. Once you move past belief and walk into faith, you can intellectually agree, you can have intellectual belief, but once you surrender and trust, everything changes. He is real. And he wants to be your Redeemer. If you don't know Jesus, we plead with you, repent and believe in who he is. If you do know Jesus and you find yourself kind of backslidden, repent. You're walking in the light. Your sin is obvious. Repent and return to him. And listen, if you know Jesus and you're walking in the light, then you spend your life painting a clear picture for everyone around you about who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and why it matters to the glory of God. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day, your word, your kindness, your goodness. Thank you for the book of 1 John. Thank you for the entirety of your Bible and how it reveals that picture from Genesis 1 to Revelation 21. It reveals that picture of who you are and what you did. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us here to figure this out on our own, but you are a God who loves us and cares for us, and you're a God who wants relationship with us. So God, I pray that you would remind us of that. I pray if there are believers in the room who have backslidden, God, I pray that you would help them repent, and I pray you would help them to walk in the light. And Father, if there are people in the room who don't know you, I pray that you would help them repent, give them faith, and help them to walk in the light. And Lord, for all of us, I pray we would spend every single second of our lives living for your glory, displaying who you are for the lost world to see. We love you. We hand this time over to you, and we pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.